Good morning and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Tuesday, April 23rd. On today's show, we explore tokenized assets and the growth of Islamic finance. Plus, we take a look at cutting-edge solutions in the financial sector. Pakistan's finance minister hopes to secure a new IMF loan by early July. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. We start off with a look at the financial sector, which is seeing rapid advancements and a surge in asset growth, driven by technological innovation, regulatory changes, and shifting market dynamics. At the center of this transformation is the adoption of digital assets and new financial instruments. Here to discuss some of the key developments is our Simply Finance correspondent. So, what can you tell us about the Hong Kong Monetary Authority's Project Ensemble and how it's pushing tokenization forward?
Project Ensemble is a major initiative by the HKMA in collaboration with banks like HSBC and tech firms like Ant Group to explore use cases for tokenized deposits. The goal is to integrate tokenized money and assets into the mainstream financial system. Importantly, the HKMA plans to engage with international central banks and organizations to participate in future experiments within their WCBDC sandbox. HKMA Chief Eddie Yu emphasized this will reinforce Hong Kong's leading position in tokenized money and assets.
Turning to another area of finance, what's the outlook for the Islamic finance sector, and what challenges does it face?
Islamic finance is poised for strong growth into 2024, supported by economic activity in core markets, high oil prices, and development plans in the Gulf and Southeast Asia. Moody's expects Islamic banking assets to outpace conventional asset growth, led by Saudi Arabia, Malaysia, and the UAE. However, the sector faces some headwinds. Sukuk issuance volumes may stabilize or decline slightly. The Takaful, or Islamic insurance market, is dealing with inflation pressures and competition that could drive consolidation. But overall, the sector's momentum looks set to continue with stable investor demand and supportive regulations.
What other new solutions are we seeing to help businesses with payments and e-commerce?
One is Allianz Trade launching Allianz Trade Pay, a payment solution for B2B e-commerce. It includes instant financing through partners, digital buyer onboarding, online fraud management, and trade credit insurance at checkout. This provides real-time protection against non-payment risks for marketplaces, BNPL providers, and e-merchants. Another is Currency Cloud expanding into Singapore, getting in-principle approval for a major payment institution license from MMAS. This will let it offer intra-regional and international services to facilitate transactions across 180 countries, so businesses can make conversions and payouts in local currencies and time zones.
Finally, how are financial firms trying to address everyday money concerns for consumers?
Empower is one example, with its What's Next brand campaign featuring TV spots aimed at demystifying financial stressors. It's encouraging more open conversations about common money questions, like affording life milestones or retirement planning. The goal is to challenge taboos and anxieties around discussing finances and promote a more confident approach to financial planning. Empower wants to help people navigate their financial futures, combining advice from professionals with real-time technology to provide clear answers and actions for their pressing money questions.
Clearly, a lot of innovation is happening across the financial world to grow assets while tackling both business and consumer needs. Speaking of financial matters on a global scale, Pakistan is hoping to reach a staff-level agreement with the International Monetary Fund by June or early July, according to the country's finance minister. The current $3 billion IMF arrangement runs out at the end of April. Pakistan is seeking a larger, longer-term loan to help stabilize its economy and implement structural reforms. For more, we're joined now by our correspondent. What can you tell us about Pakistan's discussions with the IMF?
Finance Minister Mohammad Aurangzeb says Pakistan had very good discussions with the IMF in Washington last week. He led a delegation to the IMF and World Bank spring meetings to discuss the country's economic situation and future financing needs. Pakistan originally secured a $3 billion IMF loan last summer, which helped the country avoid defaulting on its debt obligations. but that arrangement expires at the end of this month.
And what is Pakistan hoping to achieve with a new IMF agreement beyond the current one?
Pakistan wants a bigger, longer-term loan from the IMF to bring more permanent stability to the economy. The finance minister said this would provide an umbrella under which Pakistan can carry out needed structural economic reforms. However, he said the exact size and length of a potential new IMF program is not yet known at this stage.
When is Pakistan hoping to finalize a new agreement with the IMF by?
Aurangzeb said Pakistan is aiming to reach a staff-level agreement with the IMF by June or early July. Reaching a staff-level agreement is a key step in the process. It would then need to be approved by the IMF's executive board to become official. So Pakistan is hoping to secure IMF backing for a new loan program within the next 2 to 3 months.
Pakistan's economy has faced significant challenges in recent years. How critical is continued IMF support for the country?
IMF loans and oversight are absolutely vital for Pakistan's economic stability right now. The country has large fiscal and current account deficits, low foreign exchange reserves, and a depreciating currency. Without the IMF's seal of approval, it would be very difficult and expensive for Pakistan to borrow money from other sources. The IMF lending also incentivizes Pakistan to make necessary but politically difficult economic reforms to put the country on a more sustainable path. So reaching a new agreement with the IMF is a top priority for Pakistan's government.
Thanks for the update on Pakistan's economic situation. Shifting gears to the world of tech, Figma, the popular design collaboration platform, is not sitting idly by as it awaits regulatory approval for its $20 billion acquisition by Adobe. The startup has just announced the addition of 3 new generative AI features to its FigJam whiteboard tool. Here with more details is our Simply Tech correspondent. So what exactly are these new AI capabilities that Figma is rolling out?
Figma is aiming to make it easier for users to get started with and organize projects in FigJam, their online collaborative whiteboard. The first new feature uses generative AI to help create new FigJam boards from a text prompt. This should help users overcome that intimidating blank canvas feeling and quickly spin up a template with elements they need, like a calendar or timeline, just by describing it.
Interesting. And I understand FigJam is quite popular with more than just Figma's core designer user base, right? So making it more approachable could have a big impact.
Absolutely. According to Figma's chief product officer, Yuki Yamashita, 2/3 of FigJam's weekly active users are actually not designers. The tool has gained traction for all sorts of visual collaboration and brainstorming across different teams and roles. But as these boards grow, organizing all the digital sticky notes people add can become quite unwieldy.
So I assume that's where the other new AI features come in to help manage and digest all that information once a FigJam board gets built out.
Precisely. Figma is adding the ability to automatically sort those stickies into thematic groups, whether by topic, task owner, or other criteria. This should streamline a previously manual and time-consuming process of synthesis for users. The final new feature is an auto-summarization capability to generate a high-level overview from a full board of sticky notes and save users from having to scroll through every single one.
What about the potential for misuse or inappropriate content, given the generative AI aspect? How is Figma approaching that?
Yamashita says they are using OpenAI's models and have tuned them to understand Figma and FigJam-specific concepts. They're also testing a warning system to prevent users from veering outside appropriate use cases in a way that could result in harmful content, in addition to leveraging some of OpenAI's own controls. The features are launching today in an open beta.
Fascinating stuff. Generative AI-assisted whiteboarding may be a glimpse into the future of work and collaboration. Thanks for the insights. Shifting gears now to international finance, Japan's finance minister is issuing his strongest warning yet that the government may intervene in currency markets to stem the yen's decline. Shinichi Suzuki says last week's meeting with his U.S. and South Korean counterparts laid the groundwork for action against excessive yen moves. For more, let's bring in our Simply Finance correspondent. So what exactly did Suzuki say about the possibility of currency intervention?
In Parliament today, Suzuki expressed strong concern about how the weak yen is pushing up import costs for Japan. Importantly, he said this view was shared not just with his South Korean counterpart, but also in a trilateral meeting that included the United States. While stopping short of specifying what action could be taken, Suzuki said these developments have laid the groundwork for Japan to take appropriate action in the currency market. That's the strongest indication yet that intervention is on the table.
Right, and Japan has a history of stepping into currency markets to prop up the yen during times of rapid decline. But there are risks to intervention, aren't there? What are some of the potential downsides?
Currency intervention is always a risky move for governments. One key issue is that unilateral action by Japan may not be very effective in stemming the yen's slide. Coordination with other major economies like the US would likely be needed to have a significant impact. There are also concerns that intervention could spark accusations of currency manipulation from trading partners. And even if successful, propping up the yen could make Japanese exports less competitive overseas. So there are definitely economic trade-offs to weigh.
How have markets reacted to Suzuki's latest comments? Is the yen moving on this news?
The yen did see a slight bump on the comments, but nothing too dramatic yet. Investors are likely waiting to see if the finance minister's words will be backed up with actual action. Much may depend on the outcome of this week's Bank of Japan meeting as well. If the central bank signals a hawkish shift in its ultra-loose monetary policies, that could take some pressure off the yen. But if the BOJ stays the course, calls for government intervention in the currency markets may grow louder.
Thanks for the breakdown on the weak yen and potential currency intervention by Japan's government. Clearly, an important issue to keep an eye on. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.